America.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Teach Me to Talk with Laura and Kate. I'm Laura Mize, pediatric speech language pathologist.
Hi, Laura. I was reading the email. Wake me up. It's Kate. Just fired off. Oh, we're going to start with this. Thanks. So I was trying to read it. This is Kate Hensler. I'm a developmental nutritionist in Louisville, Kentucky, with our early intervention program called First Steps. How are you, Laura?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm almost through the email, so if you want to start... Go ahead.
I'm just going to blab on for a minute before we do that. This is a new time for us, for our regular listeners. We were on Thursdays at 2 o'clock Eastern time, and we have routinely had scheduling conflicts the last few weeks. So we've decided to bump the show back or forward or whichever way you want to look at it to 5 o'clock Eastern time on Thursdays. That may be, I hope that time is going to work for us going forward through the fall, but I have those speaking dates on Thursdays in the end of August and September, so we'll have to see if I'm going to be too wired after talking all day to do a show. I think it might be kind of fun, so we'll just have to see. But this is our time for the next few weeks, 5 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays, so I just wanted to mention that for our regular listeners.
I'm looking forward to the change. I'm sure in a few months we'll figure out a reason why it's inconvenient, but I think hopefully moms will be able to listen, dad could be home, they could listen comfortably and freeze up our day. And I'm thinking it'll be endless topics because as you do your speaking engagements, there'll be people who ask questions and we won't even have to get an email. You can just do it off the cuff what they talk about that day.
I know, that might be really good, so I'm hoping that'll work out. All right, let's move on with the emails that we talked about today, or that we're talking about today. I just received this one. It was actually a comment on my website at teachmetotalk.com, and it's from a mom named Mindy. And she says, "Hi, Laura. I just received the Teach Me to Talk DVD, and I'm excited to watch it. As I was reading through your website and comments, I'm wondering if this was the DVD I should start with. My son is almost 23 months old and does not yet have words, nor does he understand simple commands. He's been in speech therapy for about a month and a half and just started OT. He does babble all day long, but no real clear words other than da-da. And although he does not point, he can communicate what he wants through taking our hand and leading us to where he wants and then gesturing with our hand what he wants. But still, he does not understand what we are saying to him. Should I start with Teach Me to Listen and Obey? Thanks so much." That's a great question, and I get this one routinely on the website. And this is what I always say to moms and dads. I really did Teach Me to Talk first, and it was my first DVD, and kind of outlined in that the basics and the basic approach with being really fun and really playful and focused a lot of background information on that DVD. Then I did the receptive language DVDs, and if we were looking at this in real life and how we talk about that simple treatment hierarchy where we work on social skills, then comprehension, then expressive language, and then intelligibility, you know, I didn't film the DVDs like that, so I think it's okay that she got Teach Me to Talk first because it does give kind of that overall approach. And if you haven't seen speech therapy done in that way, I still think that's the very best one to start with. Kate, you've seen all of those. Don't you still think Talk is a great beginner kind of introduction to be playful, be fun, be simple,
absolutely,
be repetitive?
And see, I would say, and I am a... I'm not going to say a disinterested party, but I had nothing to do with, unfortunately, making the DVDs or anything. So, I mean, we're friends and we do this podcast, but I'm fairly objective, I would say. I would say, really, the Teach Me to Talk is the most basic, and I love that it really focuses on the fundamentals as, you know, as you practice speech therapy, which is, as you said, first the social connection, then the
comprehension.
Then comprehension, then expression, then articulation. But no matter what she's doing, I would say, yes, she needs to Teach Me to Talk. But because she does go on to say, you know, he's almost 2 years old, and he doesn't follow any commands. He doesn't understand simple commands. that it just if I were working with this child, that would be a major red flag for me. You know,
right.
Typically, kids by this age, even if they don't have a word, even if you can't pick out one word, they follow a lot of commands. You know, so
sure.
I don't think it's a stretch to say comprehension is a big problem for this guy. And you and I talk a lot about kids don't talk until they really understand, you know,
right.
what is being said to them. And so receptive language does is the foundation upon which this child's going to talk. And so I would say, and I'm not saying this to pitch your DVDs, but she really needs Listen and Obey too, because, I mean, not too, but Listen and Obey, because clearly this guy, she needs to know how to focus on what does he understand. How do you make that
right.
fun? And so the first one teaches the fun, and the second one teaches how do you teach what a two-year-old's supposed to know.
Right, the nuts and bolts. But I still think it's fine that she got talk first.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
Yeah, and a lot of times parents will write me and they'll say, oh, no, I bought Teach Me to Talk, and now I see that you have one out with apraxia, and I should have bought that. And I always send
right.
back, no, this is the basics. And then you
right.
kind of move on to specifically what
so
your
kid
needs
in a way, you did
there.
Make them right, Laura. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
started
yeah.
with the most basic. And for some
right.
kids, if his receptive language skills seem to be at or near age level, I'd say that's all you need. Go for it.
Yeah,
you,
it's
do
where
exactly
you need
what
to start.
She tells you to do. But since we know for her little boy, comprehension is a big issue, and I would see that as a big issue. Child's almost
oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Man, you know, he should be understanding a lot by then. So I would say,
well,
yeah,
and he's got some sensory issues too because they've just added an OT. And she did say another thing that you and I really talk about is kind of a red flag when kids are doing a ton of that leading. While on one hand, that's super because they recognize mommy can do this and get this stuff from me. On the other hand, he's not really doing many gestures beyond that, or he even takes her hand and does stuff. And that really kind of is a red flag, too, for a social communication issue. And if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about with that, that's what we call children-specific problems if they do go on to be diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. And not all children who are leaders, who use their parents' hands and do things like that are on the spectrum, but it is enough of a red flag when a mom starts to tell me that is something that I think about. And I know, Kate, that's not an opinion I have myself. But, you
are
know,
you expecting me to step up and support you here, Laura? Okay, I will.
Yeah,
I mean, that is always, and like you say, it is not.
It's not terrible, and
guess,
it is communicative.
You know, it's not. And it's
right.
the lack of other gestures. That
right.
He's not
right.
pointing. He's not, you know, a lot of just waving, I assume. Lots of early gestures seem to be something he's not good at, and he's not using at this point.
Right.
And so that, coupled with that, taking the hands, taking the body to move it is not the way that kids typically communicate, even if they're completely nonverbal.
Exactly,
so,
because
yeah.
we'll see, yeah, and we'll see kids that have other significant expressive language or speech communication deficits that are using, you know, maybe to get mom to go get you a sippy cup, might use four or five different gestures,
mm-hmm.
and they may pull mom up off the couch, but they're not necessarily solely dependent on that whole lead, and then I'm going to use your hand to open the toy's door because I can't do it, or put your hand up on the fridge to open the door. Those kinds of kids that aren't on the spectrum are using eye contact, and they are pointing, and they are shrugging their shoulders or shaking their head yes and no. You know, they're really using all those little nonverbal methods, and it does seem like lots of children who are overly dependent on that leading, that's their one trick. That's the only kind of gesture or communicative thing that they can do. But again, it's not completely bad.
I don't really personally, and this is, you know, maybe I'm professional or incorrect, but I don't even see that as a gesture, really. It's almost like they're just taking the hand to perform the task, but they're
right.
really not engaging the person in order to get them to perform the task.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, but I think when I look at it, I think, okay, I've seen kids who aren't even doing that. And
well, right.
so I think, right.
better than nothing. However.
Right. Yeah. But is it, you know, is that something, you know, we do work on lots of gestures in therapy, but it's not something that I want a kid dependent on, is taking my hand and having me do it. I'm actually, when children try to help have me do it like that, or have me, if I'm signing more and I take their hands to try to do it, and then you'll see the kids that flip their hands on the outside of yours because they want you to do it for them instead of that. If they're not looking at me and that just is like, I'm going to use your big old hands to do this because mine can't, I start thinking, okay, I really, 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 really have got to get some other communicative things going on here. You know, he's got to at least be looking at me when he does this, because he is not making that connection that he's even, like you said, using it as a communicative thing. It's not really even a real gesture in that way. But I do have seen children that I would think that would be a step up the developmental ladder if they noticed that
right.
My hands could do it.
Right.
Yeah, so
I mean,
either way.
Absolutely nothing, but it isn't typical, and I would say, she really early on, and I doubt, again, I sound like I'm giving shameless plugs, but I've crossed paths with a lot of speech therapists, Laura, and I know that you're the only one I know who understands how to teach things like how do you work on comprehension with a two-year-old, other than to give kind of simple little one-line explanations and then how to show it. And so I'd say, you know, it's worth her $40 or whatever your DVD is to just say, okay, I need to be targeted. I mean, she has two very important things. And primary for me would be that comprehension piece.
Exactly.
He has to be able to understand simple words that are said to him or don't expect him to say them or sign them.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that Teach Me to Listen and Obey 1 is very basic, and we on there, the whole tagline is you've got to tell him, you've got to show him, and you've got to help him do it. But again, there are tons of examples. I do it with toys, with snacks, with lots of play situations so that you can see how to carry those over and how that really looks when you're playing with a kid. And while we're pushing those words at the same time, you know, my goal for a kid like that when we're really early on focused on comprehension is success to me is when he puts the puzzle piece in the bag or when he zips the bag closed or when I say, get the dog, and he actually reaches down and gets the dog. That's success, whether or not he said the word or not. And it does take kind of tweaking your mindset when you're working with a child and working on comprehension, and I do think that DVD is great to get parents on the right track with that. So we've talked enough about that. I hope Mindy is listening and gets that information.
At some point. And don't feel badly because you needed Teach Me to Talk, because that kind of goes across everything you're doing.
Right.
If you don't use that basic approach, really doesn't matter how well you target comprehension, because he won't really be attending
to you. He won't
pay
attention anyway.
He has to be wanting to communicate with Mommy.
Yeah.
And Teach Me to Talk teaches you how to kind of set the stage for that. And then Listen, Obey 1 is the basic stuff on comprehension. How do you target that? So don't feel, I mean, like I said, it's to me, if a picture says 1,000 words, I don't know what a DVD says. But to see it makes it so much easier to know how to do it.
I think it does, too, and especially with how we learn information now. You know, when we went to school and, you know, Kate and I are both in our 40s, we didn't have all this fancy schmancy stuff. So you really did read a lot and get information that way. But now all these young moms especially, everybody's visual. Everybody's, or listening to that podcast. It's so funny when a mom will write a comment on the website and say, I download your podcast and listen while I run. Or a therapist will tell me, I listen while I drive. And I think, okay, I can do a podcast, but I would have to have some help to get that downloaded the first few times. So we are just kind of at a different age. You know, I feel incredibly old even admitting that out loud, but it is easier when you see it rather than reading about it sometimes.
Things like, therapists, I think, frequently or not infrequently say things like, be fun, be playful, you know, make it a game, play social games, you know, these pat little things. And not every mother in the world knows exactly how to do that, so that particularly if they have a child who happens to be fairly difficult to engage. I mean, with an easy kid, hey, no problem, we can all patty cake, and they're very happy, or whatever game it is, you know, play with the balloon or pop bubbles or do some fun things. But for some kids, they may not automatically really care whether you have a balloon or a bubble or you're doing patty cake or, and those are the kids that you have to, I mean, it's a technique. It's a specific approach to how do you get them to attend to that so that they want to play with you and they want
right.
to talk to you and you show it. And I it's just hard to tell it. I mean, because, well, I try and come as close to your approach as physically possible. So if I like exactly the way she says it, that's exactly the way I'm going to try and say it. If I like the way she, you know, I'm not proud about using your exact approach as much as I can, and I think seeing it is the only way to really get it. So,
well, especially if that's not coming naturally. And I had a mom tell me yesterday who's an older mom. She's in her 40s, and this is her first baby, and she's very professional, and she had limited experience with children until she had this baby. And yesterday we were talking about how well her little boy had done, and he's about to turn 3, so, you know, we're kind of wrapping up services, and he's moving on to school through our local public school system here and speech through there as well. And she was saying, you know, Laura, a lot of, you know, this is hard for me to say, but I think that most 20-year-old moms who are handed a baby know more instinctively what to do with this kid than I do. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I have really had to watch you because I got there yesterday and it was, they forgot that I was coming because it was a different day and they were cooking an early dinner and she was about to eat. I said, go ahead and eat dinner and I'll just play with him. And she said, no, I don't get to see you very much. And you can tell me what to do all day long with him. And I see him a lot at his daycare. She said, and I can read it on the email, but it really doesn't make sense to me until I see you do it with him. So I want you to work on this today so I can watch you. And that just goes to that same thing, especially if it's not instinctive for you how to play. Some moms don't know how to do that. And, you know, it is, I think it is kind of an instinct, too, because I can look at my daughter who's 14 and I already know, man, she is going to be good because she just instinctively knows.
Yeah, well, she's been
how to be fun.
What do you mean? She learns faster. I'm sure when she was 6 months old, you had her doing ride a little horsey.
Well, I totally did. But I'm just saying, at 14, she's got some great instincts about how to get a kid to play with her and love her. And you know, I see her getting the twinkly-eyed responses already.
I think that parents who, even for whom it is not instinctive, if they see it enough, because I see a lot of my moms come around, who they start out quiet and buttoned up and, mm-hmm. you know, reserved. And as they see me do my weird stuff, my fun stuff, and they see their kids respond,
right?
You know, slowly over time, as the weeks wear on, all of a sudden she's a little bit more animated and she's using, you know, my voice.
Right.
She's,
right.
And I think, yeah, she's picking it up. That isn't instinctive for her, but she's learning.
You can learn it.
Yeah,
you can learn it if you see it. So that was, I thought that was an interesting observation that she shared.
Right.
That she thinks, you know, 20-year-old mom with no professional training might have done better on some things than her at playing. And I thought that was great that she admitted that too, because a lot of moms, you know, that's hard for them to say out loud. So that was great. All right, let's move on. Okay, we have another email from a mom, and I'm not going to read this one because it's really, really long. But basically, she's asking, how can she get her child to get speech services through their early intervention, their state early intervention program? And she said she took, let's see, this little girl is 22 months old. She's got some other medical diagnoses, and she says that in her state program, she's not getting speech. She's getting DI. Or developmental, she's not. She's getting OT and then just kind of a service coordinator, and they take turns coming. And I guess the service coordinator in that state, Kate's probably doing just kind of general education stuff. You read that email. Is that what you took
right.
from that?
Family
and she says,
service coordinator.
Yeah, and she says that she's using 4 words consistently, and she's repeating other words, so she's imitating, but she's not really using them to communicate. And she says she is concerned, though, because they keep telling her, that her little girl has to learn how to walk before she talks, and she says she does have very low muscle tone, and she understands her main goal is walking. And she says, but if her pattern continues like other children, she may not walk until she's older than three, and she's basically saying, I don't want to wait on speech until then. I don't want to wait on words until then. What can I do to get her speech? And then secondly, she sent me an email back later that said, and what do they mean by all this? She has to walk before she talks. And Kate, do you get asked that, or do you have moms kind of, I mean, I'll even say that in a meeting and then have to kind of go back and address it. And the reason I say it is because developmentally, children usually do walk when things are going as they should or as we would hope around a year, and then they start to use their first words around that same time or shortly thereafter. So that's why when I've used a phrase like that, and that's what I think most therapists mean when they say that, well, she's going to walk first, and then we can expect her language to come in later. Is that what you mean when you say it, Kate, or do you say that?
I don't say it.
There you go.
No, I really don't. I mean, I've certainly heard other people say it.
I hear PT say it all the time.
Well, that's who you'd expect to say it. You're lucky to get that walking fixed, and then we'll get the therapist
right.
For the GI.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which is the way oftentimes it goes. It depends on kind of luck of the draw, what you get from the beginning, and also kind of your state regulations, and every state is somewhat different from the next, so
right.
It varies. I wouldn't say that, and particularly with this child who does have some other medical things going on, and they know that the walking is going to be delayed.
And she's already got four words.
Right.
And so, and she is imitating, so...
I would say, I mean, I don't know what their regulations in, I believe she said she's from Texas, but I personally, you know, in Kentucky, this child would qualify for speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, at the very least, unless she really feels like her family service coordinator is really pretty darn good on the communication. And I certainly respect that other people other than speech therapists appropriately address communication, but if she doesn't feel like hers is really knowledgeable and helpful in that area, that she should try pushing for speech. If anything, if the very least, for a consult once a month, you know, so that she really has some specific feedback from a speech therapist about, because it sounds like she's doing a great job herself.
It does, but she could get, even if she didn't get speech weekly through that state program, and again, I'm not sure what their regs are there either. You know, it could just be that kids only get so many visits, but I do think because she already has some other issues going on, she could probably make a good case for appealing for additional therapies, and again, we can do that in our state in Kentucky. How about Indiana, Kate?
Absolutely. I think that's a deal. That's a federal thing. There's always some course of action if you're totally dissatisfied with what the state is willing to offer you or the local program via the state, because really the laws are written in the child's best interest. And with a pretty significant medical history, I would think that could even be a qualifying diagnosis for the program. There are some.
So would I. And so I definitely think
like
she ought to pursue that.
It sounds fairly rare, but it's you know, something that in this state, say Down syndrome, or, you know, not that this child has Down syndrome, but, you know, there are some diagnoses that automatically qualify children.
Right.
And I would think this child would definitely be a candidate for, and, you know, she needs to go ahead and do her homework now so that when she gets speech, she gets a good one.
Right.
She needs to be asking her OT and her family service coordinator who's good.
Uh-huh.
And then you then make a call and get on that person's list, because, you know, they're not all created equal, so she needs to do her homework up front and get a good one. And as this child does walk, or, you know, that's the thing, when they say, well, kids with this medical condition don't always walk before they're three, then to say, well, we're going to wait for them to walk. I mean, I've certainly seen kids who were completely non-mobile who talked.
Absolutely.
You know, because there were other medical things going on.
Right, right.
But they talked, and I just think with all that, you know, sounds like there's not a whole lot even known about this child situation, but as a believer in earlier intervention, if it were my child, I would definitely be going to bat for getting as much as she can get while the child's in their early intervention program, and speech is definitely going to be a primary focus. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, she's delayed and definitely I would think would qualify, but she does have some skills already.
Yeah, so you would want to capitalize on that. The other thing I was thinking is she's not yet two, and maybe they're, you know, she is going to look more delayed at 24 months than you do at 22 months, just because, you know, we're always raising the bar with when children have
and to wait, which would probably be almost still by the time she's two, by the time they got an eval by a speech therapist anyway.
Right.
But
so I would, you know, if they're not going to do that in the next couple of months, just hang on until she's two, because then you'll have more ammunition because she's a little older.
That's a big cutoff point for communication milestones. And so if a child is 24 months in a day, they might qualify. And that's, you know, in theory anyway. And a child who's 23 months and 3 weeks might not.
Exactly.
So
try for that. But in the meantime, she said she loves the podcast. She's learned a lot from listening to us. I'm so glad moms learn from our weekly blabbing on. And she's so complimentary about that. And then the website.
Now,
she
I think we need to read that verbatim. Where is it? It almost brought a tear to my eye. And I said to my husband, look at the email Laura got. Let's see. Oh, I can't even find it now. It was written very cute.
Oh, wait, here it is. It says, Dear Laura and Kay, first off, let me say I love, 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 love you guys. Aww. The podcast has helped me so much, and I've incorporated many of your ideas of a success. What a great service you're providing. Can't say thanks enough. We're going to blow that one up and read it every day, aren't we? Put it above our computer.
Maybe I'll have it as my voicemail answering thing. This is Kate. Oh, I love, 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 love.
We're sillier at 5 o'clock than we were at 2 o'clock, aren't we?
I think so. I was just about my nap at 2 o'clock. At 5, it's too late. I'll just have to do it tired. Yeah, no, that was sweet. And it does, I mean, it makes you feel so good that people do listen and people do learn and people do, you know, follow ideas that we give them. And she's obviously, you know, doing quite a bit. My hat's off to her for being so proactive and knowledgeable about her own daughter, but I would definitely encourage her to do, you know, if she has to call the boss in their local agency, whoever has, you know, houses your early intervention program on the local level, if the family service coordinator doesn't seem to think there's any way speech could be on board, then she just needs to make the next call. And like you said, that's probably not a bad idea to wait until she's 24 months, and that's only a couple months away, which it's probably going to be anyway.
Right, just with the whole administrative way.
Out of the gate. Don't just take whoever's available, because that's probably, well, it could be who you want, but it may not be who you want.
Right,
so,
and that's good advice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good advice. She did say specifically that her little girl mastered the signs more and eat from ideas on the podcast. And one, Kate, and I know this is what you said to do, she said throwing her in the air at the pool and offering her snacks is what got her to learn more and eat in about 3 days.
I think that was a really early one we did, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think it was lately.
We did one early, early, early on when I was taking Laura to college, and I was in the car. I remember I had a caller. I was like, well, if the snacks don't get them, use the movement. But that is
we said that a few weeks ago, though. I think we said a few weeks ago how we use movement with that.
We say it every other week. I mean, that is kind of one of our themes.
And kids who, and we're talking about with the blanket, like swinging them in the blanket and spinning them in the chair, and how those kinds of things, especially if we can't get a kid to sign with toys, We always go to food, and then I really remember you talking about this a few weeks ago. Try those fun movement games, you know, and we started talking about that. So
some kids, the food is really not, they don't really care how many fish crackers or cookies you wave in front of them. They'll either just get mad or give up.
Right.
You know, it can be a touchy thing. So, yeah, I know I've said it a number of times, but it is so true, and it sounds like she listened and said, okay, she does
Let
like
try it
when I throw her up in the pool. And that really goes to that engage them. They've got to be wanting what it is you have to give them. And if it's not a cracker and it is throwing her in the pool, then, hey, that's a great strategy. So she figures it out, and the child, because it sounded like they'd maybe been working on those for a while.
A while, and then she got it because she changed what she did. And you have to look at what motivates your particular child. And every kid is different. I mean, most kids do respond with toys, and most of them do respond with snacks. But if your kid is not an eater, you need to start looking at, you know, what makes him light up on his own? What kinds of things does he obviously want me to do with him? And use those kinds of activities to teach your signs. And so, it's good advice. And if you have difficulty coming up with what those are, ask your, you know, ask dad or ask your therapist when she comes, you know, and say, help me figure out what context we can better teach these signs in. And after your therapist gets over being a little bit offended, she might help you really think through that, because it really does sometimes. I mean, sometimes don't you have kids, Kate, that you think, I'm not getting him anyway. I'm going to, or I know I do this, you may not, but I'll think, I'm going to take 1 minute and just sit here and think for a minute. And sometimes I'll even say to a mom, okay, I just need to think about this, so I'm going to let him do this, and I'm going to think for a second. And you will kind of come up with an idea like, aha, this would be a better way to go about this. So anyway.
Yes, well, they all are. At least we have our tricks, and we have our first line of defense, but some kids really just don't necessarily follow our idea of what it is that's going to work. And, I mean, you know, we certainly have our go-to things, and then, okay, that didn't work. Let's try plan B. But
plan R, yeah.
But
I mean,
at the end of that line, what is going to work is what the kid really cares about, what
exactly
he really likes.
Exactly. So that's why you look for him to be excited. And when you think, okay, what did he really get a charge out of today? What did he get all twinkly-eyed with me doing? What did he light up about? You know, and for some kids, it may be something that you think is not very much fun or might even be a little odd. But if that's what you need to get them going, so be it, and use that. All right, we need to move on so we can get through these other two, because I emailed these moms back telling them we were going to talk about these questions today, and I feel terribly if a mom listens specifically for her question and we don't get to it.
Okay, well, Laura, let me say, if there's a mom listening, she wants to call in, we'd love that. We're hoping we get a few more live callers with this later time, but it is 1-718-766-4332. Don't be shy. All it is a phone conversation.
And obviously we're very informal. Very non-threatening. Just no girls. Here we go. Okay, let's go on to the next question. This mom says, I have a few questions about my little boy. He's 25 months old and only has 8 words. He can say a bunch of animal sounds, responds to directions, and signs over a dozen words. I don't see any signs of apraxia, although he used to say the word duck and no longer says it. He also still drools, which I don't know what to think about. He has no inconsistency with the way he says the words he does have, and I've never noticed any groping of his articulators. He communicates with his signs, pointing, and gets our attention when he wants things. And this mom says, I have just started doing some therapy with him. I'm currently working on the words down, fast, slow, in, out, open, on, off, cat, and duck. My question to you is, how many target words should I be working on at a time? I work on these words in our therapy, and then I also emphasize other non-target words that are in books or words that come up throughout the day. I also, she says, should I try to focus only on the target words and only read books for now that have ducks and cats and the other target words in them until he has mastered these words? How soon can I expect to see results? How long should our therapy sessions be? How many times should I be saying a target word during a session? And then she says, I would appreciate any direction you could give me. Thanks a million. What a great mom. Aren't those great questions?
Really? It doesn't sound like she sees a speech therapist or this child sees a speech therapist.
It doesn't. So I would go ahead and recommend, first of all, that you have him evaluated, because he probably will qualify because he's over two. And then secondly, I would say good job for knowing that even if you have a speech pathologist or a developmental interventionist, the bulk of the work still probably is going to lie with you. And with knowing that you have to work with him every day, I recommend to moms when they're talking about doing this with their children to play with their children as long as the kid stays interested. And for some kids, that really is a full hour. But more often than not, it's in these little 10, 15, 20-minute play sessions with mom that she can get lots of things done. And if you could do one of those in the morning and one of those, you know, after nap in the afternoon, and then maybe even have dad do some things with him later in the day, that's still an hour's worth of quote-unquote therapy that he's gotten that day. And I think those shorter little sessions, 15 or 20 minutes, are great for moms to incorporate in their daily schedule. Some moms can make that last an hour, and it is more like what we would do with a visit. But I think as long as your child is playing with you and enjoying it, that's how long your little playtime needs to be. What do you think about that, Kate? Same?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably an hour would be pushing it for the mom and for the child, especially in the beginning. But 15 to 20 to, on a great time, 30 minutes, morning and evening, a couple times a day would be terrific.
I think so, too. So that's one question. The next thing, she says she's currently working on this list of words. Okay, and let me just say, on one hand, that is great. You are focused on knowing, okay, these are the words that I'm trying to get. I'm going to be a little more methodical about this and approach it from a more, a more concrete position than just saying we're working on language. However, on the other hand, I think sometimes when you're too controlled like that, unless you do this all day, every day, you almost end up working on something that's not what your child is focused on and isn't the most salient or the most obvious word that you could be using in a play routine. And I did notice that lots of these words are not nouns, and other than cat and duck. And we know from our information with how typical language develops that most children have lots and lots of nouns before they have other kinds of words, especially like fast and slow. Those descriptive words usually don't come until children have mastered 40, 50 nouns and then have lots of verbs and then have a handful of prepositions. And she's gotten those listed in there with in, out, off and on, and she has a verb there with open. So you do kind of want to watch when you're picking your words that you are not picking things that children, I'm not saying that 25-month-old children don't use those words, because they do with typical language development, but he only has, what did she say, 8 words.
And we don't know what those 8 words are.
Yeah, we don't. And not every child is the same, in that one child who is crazy about trains, you know, or choo-choo, he may say that, whereas another kid may care less about that, and so that would not be a good target for the kid that wasn't into trains, although most 2-year-old little boys are.
Almost, mine is universal, but it's not 100%.
It's not, and so you want to go with what he likes, but I would caution her to back up and really focus on names of things, names mm-hmm. of his favorite toys, names for his favorite people. I use the word open all the time. I think that's a great word to work on, but I really don't think a child usually has that, even in kids that I'm pushing it on, until he has lots of nouns first. And while we do work on verbs like go was one of our early targets with kids because we can use it all the time. You know, I'm still thinking that for every verb or every preposition that I work on, like in, out, off, and on, that I've said 20 nouns or thought about lots of different nouns before I would really think about using those other words. And I'm not totally discouraging her little preconceived list, but at the same time I want her to be careful and really be labeling lots and lots of nouns or names of things, because we know that children usually acquire those kinds of words first. And that's just basically from my language perspective. Now, Kate, you give the real life everyday perspective. Is it different? What would you say
about that? Well, I wonder, one thing, I do down fairly early, and I also do up.
I do too.
Up and down fairly
yeah.
early. We don't know if up's one of his words. I kind of assume it might be because she has
she's
down
saying
in her,
down.
Not
mm-hmm.
up. And up is an easy thing for most kids to be able to imitate, even if you go up and they go up, you know.
Yeah, and you can use
all
it
they
all
to
day.
Say up, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as yeah, fast and slow, no way I would have those anywhere
yeah.
in the immediate future. Those would be done off of there because they're just too abstract and
right.
He may or may not understand them, but he's not going to use them anytime soon, would be my guess.
Right.
So I shouldn't even go there. I like in and out pretty well, especially out. I would want to ask her, does he do more? Does he do go? Does he do mine? Does he do eat?
And then a whole lot of nouns in addition to that, because we
right.
really do see when kids, when we look at early vocabularies like that, it usually is mama, dada, bye-bye is another first early target. And again, those may be words that he has in that eight
right, those may be
word. Part. Yeah, but then words for things that he loves, his favorite toys, words for foods, especially junk foods, snack foods, words for things that he's going to have all the time, like milk or water or whatever his particular drink is. Work on those kinds of things that are going to come up naturally in your day. I would use those before, even like cookie, even if you're not going to let him have, 45 cookies in a day, at the same time, that's going to
but
be more motivating.
But during the day she's going to be playing with him, it wouldn't be a bad idea to work in a few Teddy Grahams.
That's exactly
cookies
right. And that's
an easy sign to do for most kids, and,
yeah.
and she obviously has some access to ideas or pictures of signs. I'll say up front, just modify them and make them as simple as possible. A lot of times I do one finger to an open palm for cookie.
Oh, me too.
This depends on the child as to whether or not they can come close to really signing it. But most kids will try that for cookie. And I think you're right. And I always explain to moms, go with the things that get them what they want, and that, which
right.
is how they're going to use those words. If he's saying choo-choo, choo-choo, he means, Mom, get the choo-choo off of the counter. I'm ready to play with it. Or if he's
right.
saying cookie, 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 it's really, he's naming it, but what he's really saying is, hey, I'd like another cookie now, Mom. So those are the words that they're generally motivated to say because they can, they have some control over their lives and their environment. So if they can say that noun, they can say that object, then they can get what they want.
Exactly. The other thing I would encourage her to do is to look at his signs and whatever signs he's using a lot, try to get those words because he already has context where he's using those signs
right.
and then children can naturally, they just start to kind of, and I have a little girl, as I'm saying this out loud, I'm thinking, oh, but not in the case of her. Children usually start to say the words in therapy that we've had them sign. So that's another thing I would do, too, is really kind of work on the words he already has. Now, some therapists might say, well, you don't want to do that because you really want to expand his vocabulary and he already has those signs, so let's work on new words. But I disagree
I would
with that.
I disagree with that one. Yeah.
I disagree with that too. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And it's great that this little guy, it says, she says he does a lot of animal sounds. That's great. Those are great, fun practice things that, you get to practice lots of different consonants and vowels and animal
mm-hmm.
sounds. And in my mind, those almost count as words. If he knows
yeah, me too.
How it says and says moo, that's the word. You always say, if you can write it, it's the word.
You can spell it.
Say,
yeah.
I can write moo because it's communicative. And if kids are doing that with a twinkle in their eye, they're saying, aren't I cute? I know what the cow says. I mean, that's very communicative.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a word. So that's great, but yeah, I'd say, and I kind of feel like, well, let's say this. I don't encourage moms to say, keep building the signs until the child is one, imitating and then using spontaneously those signs. If he's putting
right.
his fingers together for more, and he does that throughout his day to communicate more, okay, he's got it. But
yeah.
just because you're doing 10 signs and he's doing 10 signs back at you, that's a great first step. But he really has to have kind of ownership of those signs and know what they mean and use them.
Right.
So I kind of say, let's do 4 or 5 that we're really targeting as far as the signs with the words. And then build up.
Build up with that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that, too. And she says he has about 12 signs, so I would look at those signs and see if you can't transfer some of those to words or at least word approximations while he's signing. And that really is how they tend to come in with children that have been good signers. What?
I'm going to assume that she's read a lot of your stuff and may have DVDs. I don't know. She doesn't say anything.
I don't know either.
But
yeah.
Let me say, if she's listening, consider getting Teach Me to Talk or watch some of the clips on Laura's website, things that I remind myself routinely and try and remind parents who are trying to learn what works. He likes, obviously, those animal sounds, and I think the reason they do is because they're fun and they're sing-songy
mm-hmm.
and they exaggerate them, and she needs to remember to do that as she's signing. If she's signing cookie or she's signing mine, to be really use a kind of a high-pitched, sing-songy, exaggerate. I always tell parents, exaggerate the vowel sound. Don't tell them more. Tell them more, because I think that thing makes it, just like he likes the animal sounds, he's more likely to try or be able to, maybe that's better, more accurate, to try and imitate it. So, just if I don't know where she is in her learning, but it sounds like, I mean, she's doing a lot already, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes that can be kind of overlooked. And if she hasn't seen you do it, not only is Laura using her Southern accent, she's using a good speech therapist voice. So, and I see that in a lot when I'm with kids, and I'll kind of slip out of it because I'm not a Southerner and I don't have a pretty sing-songy voice. And I'll have to remind my, and so many times if I kick back into my therapist voice, my sing-songy, animated voice, then they imitate it, and I think, darn, I forgot.
Me too, and I did that this week with a little boy. I'm filming lots of therapy right now to use in the presentations that I'm doing in the conferences in August and September in Indiana, and I'm thinking, gosh, this is just not going as well as it normally does. And when you're being filmed like that, and I've had a lot of my therapy sessions filmed, but you do still. I had on a shirt that I kept thinking, oh no, my boobs are hanging out, and I kept pulling up my shirt, and Johnny, my husband, is the camera guy.
Shot was on your in the forefront of your mind, huh? You forgot
and,
you're supposed to do.
And
more.
So I'm looking at him, and he needed a new memory stick, and he had a leak. I mean, just everything went wrong. And the little boy wasn't performing, and I thought, I am not being as animated and as simple with the words as I normally am. And when I went back and reminded myself, we were doing the little Hot Wheels motorcycles that we like, Kate, that little set, and I was just saying, come on, you got to put your hand on the handle, and just totally off my game. And when I stopped and started saying, pull and go, and then boom, when they crashed, he came right back to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost instant how his response changed because I simplified what I was doing.
You know, back to her list. Pull is one that I do. I do some action ones because I've had so many. Well, one, I think kids like
I
them.
Do, too. Well, I do, too, and I'm not saying don't do action words. I'm just saying all of her words, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, of the 10 words she's working on, only two were nouns,
yeah.
And only one is
so
a verb.
Fast and slow out. I would leave up and down. I'm assuming he says up. Pull. I do pull early.
I do pull early, too.
I always
do it really
goofy, like, pull! And kids love that and do it fast. I mean, that's almost like a guarantee. He'll try and say that.
Especially if he has an initial P. If he has a P or an M in another word or a B, and I know that's too speechy for you, Kate, but if he already has those lip sounds and he can do that in the beginning position in another word.
I think along those lines. I might not call it a bilabial, but I will think,
yeah.
Okay, we've got ball, we've got bi, we've got okay, we should be able to get pull.
But they like it, and they
you know, kids fumble so much with things they're trying to manipulate in their hands that pull is something they have to try and do a lot, and they think
it's funny. Yeah, exactly. And it's because you've made it novel and fun, and it's easy. So that's, you know, two great characteristics that would make pull a great target word.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I routinely hold things in bags and then have to pull them out.
But you're right, things are always getting stuck for two-year-olds, too.
Yeah,
they do need lots of help.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're trying to do things for themselves or do play with things independently, but, you know, they're fine motor skills aren't that great, but I do. I'll hold something in a bag from the bottom where they can't see me and say, oh, I need help, pull, and then I'm holding on to it. But I can almost always get pull with that. So
you really can't. And, you know, I was thinking back to and this is what I meant to say when I first started answering this question. When the studies that look at children's first vocabularies with children with typically developing language, nouns are like 80% of it for a long time. But when they look at early vocabularies of children who've had early intervention, speech therapy or, you know, DI or whatever your state calls that, there were many, many, many more verbs than typically developing children have in their early vocabularies. And I always think that's because those are the words the therapist taught them, and they were just using that in the context of the activity to keep those kids engaged. And that's great. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm just saying I remember that study. That was very, very interesting to me. And please, please don't anybody call me right now and say, what journal was that in? Because I do not remember. I just remember thinking, how interesting is
that? Was that a bad thing?
No, they were just reporting information. They were just saying, in typically developing language, nouns make up, and again, I'm saying 80%. It could have been something like 85, or I don't remember the exact percentages.
In kids, it's as easy as, you know, bubble. They, you know, they only have times, and they're popping out the words. So normally that is, and they learn to point to things early on as if to say, what is it? And mommy says, shoe. And then the child says, shoe. But for a child who struggles to get any word out, I always kind of feel like some of those early action words are kind of power words. And so if they can say out, or they can say go, or they can say pull, that makes up for a lot of nouns that, I mean, I do definitely do nouns, but I do see with early on, they seem to like the power that is connected to some of those action words. But they've got to be simple, and they've got to be something they can use a lot.
Exactly. And I do think another thing, but typically developing children who responsive to all of the things that we know work with babies, they really might have imitated lots of that labeling in books. You know, those are the kids that have sat through the books and that have wanted their moms to read 3 or 4 books in a row. A lot of our kids in speech therapy, they aren't ready for a book until they're over 3. You know, they can't tolerate that. They're not ready for that kind of sit-down activity that's not as much fun as playing with toys. They don't have the attention spans for it. It's not one of their preferred activities. And so naturally, with those kinds of movement-based kids, our little sensory seekers, we have to do those verbs because that's what they're paying attention to and that's what they're into. So I'm not saying that it's right or it's wrong. I'm just passing on information that I thought that was really interesting.
I could see that because they are, you know, different from typical kids where they just, and, you know, parents who have, you say it's their second child who's language delayed, they say, well, by this time, my daughter was using sentences, and they don't ever remember really thinking about it or even trying at all to get their child to talk. It just happened early and easily and automatically. And typical is they know a lot of nouns, and they label things a lot, and they want mommy and daddy to label things a lot.
And so it just naturally happens that they have more nouns mm-hmm. than verbs. So I think that's a reason, too. Okay, let's do this last question really, really quickly. And then we might have to spill over to some of this for next week. But basically, this mom is saying that she's been reading through the site. She's a 10-month-old, and she's worried about his speech because he doesn't babble. He used to coo, but his sounds haven't matured. And she says, the majority of the time he makes noises with his mouth closed, but that overall he's really, really quiet. She says he does smile, laugh, and scream. He has good eye contact. He's starting to wave bye-bye and clap, and that's great. He's 10 months old. He's also started offering his toys to them. He likes peekaboo. He does enjoy being around other members of the family. Gross motor, skill-wise, he's a bit on the later end. He's not yet crawling. But he is, the thing that she's most concerned about is that he is just trying to talk with his mouth closed, and she's asking, is that typical? And no is the answer to that. That is not typical for a child to try to do that. We do not see that as a part of normal speech-language development. We most often see children talking with their mouth closed when they're going to be motor planning problems present, and if you don't know what I mean by that, we can't really explain it in 3 minutes, but you can look on the website under the category apraxia, and I'm not saying that we would ever diagnose a 10-month-old with apraxia, but we often hear that in their histories that children did try to say things with their mouths closed. I have a couple guys doing that right now on my caseload, Kate, that they're keeping their mouths closed and trying to talk, and it's funny when that happens because you don't see it all the time, and then lo and behold, you'll have two or three on your caseload at the same time. Have you had that lately, or have you had that before?
I've had it. Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, I've never worked with a child at 10 months old and seen
right.
it, but normally our kids or my kids are somewhere around 18 months, 24 months, 30 months, and then I am kind of thinking, looks kind of dyspraxic to me, but,
me too.
You know, she's doing great to think about the language stuff already, and I'm thrilled that he waves and does patty cake already. You know, that's a great sign.
Yeah, and she's doing lots of things. Her other question that we can probably answer this in 2 minutes is she's saying, how can I get him to open his mouth to vocalize? You just have to keep doing it over and over and do it with silly play sounds, like a big uh-oh, where you are really opening your mouth. I would go back to our animal sounds with moo and meow, 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 so that you are exaggerating those fun, playful sounds like that. He's 10 months old and not walking, so she probably is swinging him or carrying him quite a bit. So I would do a lot of wee. And again,
it gets a wee in there.
Yeah.
They like it. It's usually something they can get pretty early. And wow can be another good one.
Oh, yeah. That's my go-to sound right now. But on the other hand, he's only 10 months old. He's very young. He's very little. So I would say it sounds like you were doing all the right things. Just keep doing those things.
I would also do make sure, and you may have implied this, Laura, but, you know, get try and get him to do raspberries back and forth with her, you know, to be really exaggerated so she's really, her lips real big and goofy, and see if he won't try and, you know, another one you do a lot is,
Yeah.
She'd even do that with her tongue trying to lick her lips, like, see if she can get him to imitate any of those kind of natural oral motor things where mommy licks her lips or mommy purses her lips and says, maybe he'll try it.
Maybe he will. I have a kid right now that is anytime he's hurt, he's saying, ow, and I always notice how big his mouth is when he says it, and I think, oh, that's so good. That would be so good for that one, too. But again, he's 10 months old, so
right.
She shouldn't naturally think, oh, no, he's not doing this, you know, in the 2 weeks that I've been working on it. With a 10-month-old, you are going to have to do it a bazillion times before he may do it, and don't just give up thinking that he's not going to do it. You know, even with a typically developing 10-month-old, you may not be seeing any of these or hearing much of anything yet, so don't necessarily get yourself all worked up about it. He does have some red flags, but he is still very, very young. So just keep doing these things, hoping that things will kick in and this will get better. And if it doesn't, it sounds like you've already got a really good game plan for having him evaluated. The other kicker is she's in Canada, and she says there's a 6 to 8 month wait because of their system there. And so I understand her wanting to go ahead and start to work with him. But at the same time, I wouldn't recommend that this mom get herself all overly
like I said,
anxious.
I love that he's waving bye-bye and doing patty cake, and I would encourage her to keep doing all those early social games with him. And I love your do the movement ideas, because that is, you know, a wee is pretty easy to get if you're twirling him around in there and he's squealing for delight. Wee! You know, even if it's ee, he's got his mouth open.
Exactly. Okay, you know what? I think I just turned the show off. I think I just disengaged the switchboard, so we're going to have to let that be that.
Oh, well, I guess we're done.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.